Welcome to TSOH Weekly, episode number 4. My name is Alex Morris of the TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira, RB Low Capital Management. Today's topic is going to be on Disney and specifically Hulu. A little bit of background on Hulu, which may surprise some people. The service has 44 million subscribers today, which is a little bit below Disney Plus in the U.S. But because it has a significantly higher ARPU, the business actually does about 50% more in revenues, or actually about 60% more in revenues than Disney Plus does in UCAN, about $6.5 billion versus $4 billion. And that's excluding about $4.5 billion in revenue from the vMVPD, Hulu Live. So it's a relatively big business. It's the third largest player in terms of engagement per Nielsen data behind YouTube and Netflix in the United States. So it has more viewership share than Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, Max, et cetera. So, you know, a fairly significant business that's gone through a lot of ownership issues over time and is still going through those today, as we'll get into. I think a good place maybe for Francisco to jump in is when Iger came back to Disney in February 2023, he had an interview with David Faber of CNBC, and when he was asked about Hulu, Faber said, "I think the assumption has been that you guys will buy what you don't already own of Hulu." And Iger's response was, "I think I'm suggesting that isn't necessarily the case." So a little bit cold on Hulu upon his return to the company. Francisco, where do we kind of stand today?
Yeah, and it was surprising at the time because it kind of signaled like anything was on the table and everything for Disney, and particularly because part of the success of Disney Plus, which is obviously their main streaming service, was in domestically was bundling with Hulu and ESPN Plus as well, which has over 25 million subscribers. So I think the state of play today is, you know, Iger has seen more results internally, and he signaled that actually the future of Disney Plus is having Hulu inside of Disney Plus and really combining the apps. And combining the apps gives you much more engagement, much more content, and much more opportunity to sell advertising, because part of the Hulu kind of offering has always been a very cheap entry price with an ad tier. It was basically the original streaming advertising service. And it basically started almost as a, you know, maybe even earlier than Netflix streaming, and then had ad tiered practically since the beginning. So I think today what we're seeing is that Hulu has always had a messy ownership structure, a messy content licensing. You know, it runs next day content from Fox, ABC, NBC, then the NBC content left. Then all the minority partners were bought out. Comcast is still a minority shareholder. And that's, you know, prevented Disney from really integrating Hulu into Disney Plus and having a unified service. But I think what we've seen is that that content that's not necessarily branded in IP, which is what really drives Disney Plus, it really has enormous daily habitual viewership, lean back viewership. It has more adult-oriented content that I think Iger has realized, coming back to the point, the topic on Iger putting, you know, Hulu for sale potentially. It really brought to the forefront that actually, you know, to Disney Plus to be a big scaled player, you need more of this content. You can't just rely on an IP. When he signaled that he was willing to sell Hulu, maybe he was going more niche with Disney Plus. And I think he's actually realized correctly, in my opinion, I think your opinion as well, that you need a broader set of content and much more engagement. Because to your point, you know, Hulu itself has more than Amazon Prime, which I think would viewership than Prime, which I think would surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, it's a critical part of the story that, you know, I've written about for a long time. You and I have discussed for a long time. I kind of have viewed Hulu and ESPN as connected in terms of where Disney decides to go in terms of D2C. And, you know, what you were saying about Hulu is spot on. The viewership share, I think, is I think they have about 3.5% viewership share in the United States versus Disney is closer to 2%, I think, which makes sense given, you know, what Disney Plus's core programming is. And, you know, you get back to this idea of, is it going to be something that people come to habitually night after night, or, you know, a couple times a week, or is it more event-driven programming, which can work to some extent, right? I mean, it's like HBO or Max with a show that can get a very large number of people to show up on Sunday night, but they might not be there the rest of the week. It's just kind of different strategies. And I think Disney overall kind of needed to pick one of those two routes. When Iger came back, it was very unclear to me that his idea of where to go was aligned with my worldview. I think now it's much clearer that they're going to play the bundled and, you know, it sounds like now potentially, and maybe get your thoughts on this, potentially an all-you-can-eat single service across not just the entertainment programming, which will come next year with Disney Plus and Hulu, but potentially all of the company's content in a single app, meaning inclusion of sports rights.
No, I think it's essential to get that bigger scale, because it's like, let's rewind the clock, like the power of Disney's IP and library, you know, day one Disney Plus as a streaming service didn't even have all the Marvel movies, didn't even have all the Star Wars movies, practically no original content except for like two episodes of The Mandalorian. And some of the rights also on the animation side were fragmented. You didn't have everything. You didn't even have like all the live action Disney Plus remakes. So it was really relying on the brand value, the IP, and a big portion, but not all of the library. And day one, 10 million subs. So Disney has a very, very, very powerful IP to drive a lot of subscribers. But I think if you're gonna reach for scale, reach for a lot of profitability, reach for more habitual daily viewership, the IP is really not enough. The kid might want to watch Marvel on a Monday. The daughter might want to watch Frozen on a Tuesday. But then maybe the parent doesn't want to watch that on a Wednesday, right? You need your Early Murders in the Building, your FX content, your 20th century more edgy oriented movies. You need the Kardashians reality show that used to be on cable and now it's on Hulu, a Hulu original. You need the broader programming to keep a household and to have pricing power with that household, and on the non ad tier, and also the engagement to boost the ad tier revenue. So I think Iger's signaling very strongly that yes, IP is the main kind of their North Star and what drives really everything, but without the broader reach and engagement, Disney Plus can't be successful. So I think that's why he's pivoted from his original point of view. And we're seeing that today in last night's earnings.
Yeah, another part of this, I mean, you can look at it either in terms of the absolute pricing. Hulu no ads is $17.99 now after the price increases that'll come in October, versus Disney Plus no ads at $13.99. So kind of an interesting differential there. In addition to that, when you look at the ad tier pricing, each of those services is at $7.99. So it's just kind of interesting. You have a $10 price gap on the Hulu tier compared to, you know, a $6 gap at Disney Plus, which gets to a lot of what we're saying.
And the new Disney Plus Hulu duo with no ads is $19.99, which is only $2 more than the Hulu without ads. So they're really trying to drive the unified offering. So it'll be interesting to see when they really merge the ads.
Yeah, well, that's my question to you. When they really merge, probably the last thing we have time for, do you think Hulu becomes a tile within Disney Plus? Do you think it eventually basically just goes away?
I think it becomes a tile in Disney Plus. I think that's inevitable. I think there's going to be a transition period, but over the long term, the Hulu standalone app probably goes away. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It'll be a tile and transition period.
Yeah, I think a very interesting part of the entire media industry and looking at Netflix's strategy, which is so clean, is a company like Disney now that has all these different options to, you know, bundle these different services and, you know, thinking about the IP of any given brand and the decision making around that. You know, it's hard to make the very difficult decision just to have something to go away, but there's also something really, really compelling about that simplicity.
Indeed.
But that's enough for today. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks.